and like bringing the cannabis side into it, because cannabis does like it gives you the ability to change your perspective, and it also, you know, can heighten your awareness around things. And like, I believe that if nothing else, it can help like highlight some of these things. It's just taking it, because cannabis has been looked at as like recreational or something for symptom management within the body, like this concept that it can actually be used as a tool for deep introspection.
Welcome to the Mindfulness Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Keith Fiveson. On today's episode, we'll be diving into the world of mindfulness, consciousness, medicine, and today we'll also be exploring a concept called Kanavasana, a little like meditation, but it's really upped a little bit more, or amped up a little bit more. And our guest will tell us a little bit more about that. She's a trusted luminary in the realm of psychedelic guidance and integration. Her name is Arianne Williams. She's a registered nurse, and she's also an integrative endocannabinoid specialist, cannabis educator, and has spent recent years passionately guiding individuals on a transformative journey of self-discovery. She has also done advanced training with the Center for Medicinal Mindfulness for Psychedelic Cannabis Guidance and Sound Mind in Philadelphia for Psychedelic Guidance and Integration. She'll tell us what's up and what's happening in the field of cannabis. Welcome, 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 Arianne. How are you?
I am so well. Thank you so much, Keith, for having me on to have this discussion today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I am so excited for you to be here. And this is an area, I know we've talked before about the whole area of cannabis and how really, with the recreational market, a lot of the medicinal qualities of cannabis have maybe been overlooked. And I'm excited to have you here. I know we met through one of the groups that we're both involved with, but can you tell me a little bit about your journey and where you are now? I know you're involved in the whole area of cannabis, and you're working with the cannabis nurses. Tell me a little. Straighten me out with this thing, please.
Yeah. I'd be happy to. You know, my relationship with cannabis started 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I've been a nurse for 16 years at this point, I think. And I left working bedside with patients a few years ago, or 2 years ago, and shifted into more like health and wellness coaching. Mm-hmm. So my relationship with the plant has evolved for several years. You know, it started out recreational. I've also used it medicinally to help recover from surgery, helping with anxiety, depression, things like that. And like, I knew that it was medicine, and being the state that I live in and the rules in a lot of things are a lot of places in the country, like there was a lot of limitations around education, accessibility, and what all that even meant. So in 2020, my dad wanted to come off of opioids. He has a history of chronic pain and opioid abuse disorder. And, he wanted to just use cannabis, and I was like, all right, here we go. You know? Mm. So I got really curious, and that's when I learned about the endocannabinoid system, and which was never anything that I was ever taught in school. And I've gotten multiple levels of education within the nursing system, and that's not anything that was ever talked about. So I found out about, I knew about the recreational side, I knew it had medicine to it, but now I understood why it worked as medicine because of the endocannabinoid system and the way that it, you know, just locks right into it and affects it in big ways. And then I heard on a podcast, Ryan Sprague was talking about conscious cannabis use, and that like kind of activated me, because like, yes, it is all these things, right? It's recreational, it's medicinal for the body, but I never really thought about how it can be habituated and how there's this whole other side to it, this like what it looks like to use consciously. Like I had been using intentionally, right? Like to the point of, or intentionally in a way of like picking my strains and being very aware of where I was getting my medicine from and like very intentional in that, but like not always conscious, and things started getting habituated. And this, it's such a beautiful medicine, and it's a spirit medicine. It's a consciousness medicine. And he brought that really into my awareness. So I got really curious on that. And then just like it, you know, it's one of those things that it's like following the thread, and it just continues to just open in so many different ways. So I found myself like understanding the consciousness of cannabis and how, you know, using it mindfully and intentionally can really open the doors for a lot of things. And now I work with, as a director of patient care services with Trusted Canna Nurse, where I do education on cannabis and psychedelics. And we support in multiple ways with cannabis, both medicinally, because it is like a such a beautiful medicine for the body. You know, it eases the stomach, it can help relax the nerves, it eases pain and stuff like that. But also talking to people and educating on creating a more conscious and intentional relationship with cannabis and understanding how to use it as this powerful tool that it is. Because I just feel like a lot of it's been lost in translation.
So, you know, I was very excited to have you on because, you know, not only the website Trusted Canna Nurse is really excellent. And, you know, it has a lot of information, and you really approach it from a, I think, from a real scientific view, you know, the science and the sacred. And you really look at it not only from the medicine viewpoint, but from the mystical viewpoint. And I really appreciate that. You talked about the endocannabinoid system, and I think you know, cannabis, grass, pot, marijuana, all of the things that it's been called, but the true word for the plant is cannabis. And when we talk about the endocannabinoid system, which you brought up, you know, there is this whole network within the body that really is a receptor for cannabis. Can you tell us a little bit about the endocannabinoid system and, you know, what that's all about? You know, it's something you learned late about, but many people, maybe it's the first time they've heard about it, and they might wonder, okay, well, it sounds a little bit like cannabis. You know, what is endocannabinoid all about? So maybe you can open that up a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the endocannabinoid system was discovered back in, I think, the 1988, perhaps, by Dr. Raphael Mechoulam. He is an amazing cannabis researcher and scientist that actually passed away earlier this year. They call him like the grandfather of cannabis.
And what's the name again, please, one more time?
Raphael Mechoulam.
How do you pronounce the last name? I'm sorry, I stepped on it.
Mechoulam.
Mechoulam.
It's M-E, maybe? M-E.
Mechoulam. Yeah, well, we'll look it up, but it's Raphael Mechoulam, cannabis. Look it up. We can go ahead and research it. Okay, good.
He's amazing. He came out of Israel, or he was in Israel. And that's the interesting thing, is that like Israel is really big on cannabis research, as far as the medicinal purposes go. It's a big place to look in to see how it's actually being done. Their rules and regulations are a lot different than they are in the United States. So they're able to produce a lot more research. But back to that, the reason why it was discovered was because Raphael Mechoulam was researching THC and how it interacted with our system. And through that, he discovered that it connected to a receptor, which was deemed or named a cannabinoid receptor. And we have CB1, cannabinoid 1 receptor, we have CB2. There's more than just those. Those are the main ones that we look at, the main ones that have been researched at this time. But so the endocannabinoid system was discovered, and what was realized is that this system is like our master communicator between all of our other systems. It is our network of neurotransmitters. And why cannabis affects our mood, our appetite, the way we sleep, and the way that we you know, essentially have our emotional states and stuff like that, is because it's directly interacting with our nervous system and then on a neurotransmitter level. So it affects your hormones too. It's a big thing, right? But yeah, it was discovered because of him trying to figure out why cannabis interacted in the system the way that it does.
So when you say it's a communicator, are you talking about it from the standpoint of a state of homeostasis? Are you talking about how it interacts maybe with the autonomic nervous system, you know, in terms of fight or flight, the, you know, sympathetic or the, you know, the parasympathetic nervous system in terms of rest, digest,
or maybe the
vagus, you know, the vagal toning, the vagus nerve throughout the body? I mean, how does it like work in symphony with those things? Or I'm just wondering, because I know one of the things that happens with cannabis is it certainly will raise your heart rate, regardless of whether or not you're using a sativa or an indica, or, you know, as long as you know you're taking it, your heart rate will go up. And but I'm just wondering what happens in the body and how does it impact in terms of this communication network?
Yeah, so think of it as like a checks and balance system for all your other systems, right? And it does help bring the body into homeostasis. So if your endocannabinoid system is dysfunctional, then essentially it's going to cause a lot of dysfunction through the rest of the system. Mm-hmm. It is this like interplay, right? And it's a checks and balance system. Whenever you're looking at like talking on how it raises the heart rate, like part of the reason why THC is actually a vasodilator, which is why it can cause people to pass out if they stand too quickly or if they aren't like regular consumers. But it also, THC specifically, affects your cortisol. So if what is seen is that people who are like acute users, that it will initially spike that cortisol. There will be a cortisol response, which is part of the reason why you have the elevated heart rate, which people will associate with anxiety, which like spirals this whole other thing, right? And people who use chronically, they don't actually have the cortisol spike response as much as what is seen in someone who is like an acute user just doing it from time to time.
So, you know, and I know when cortisol rates go up, generally our fat absorption, you know, taking in, obviously our appetite goes up, but the ability to burn off the fat is what I'm saying goes down because we're storing more fat. And then of course we go into fight or flight mode and so on and so forth. Yeah. So what I hear you saying is that with cannabis, use, and obviously through the right moderation of cannabis use, and I think that's where your focus is, moderating the cannabis so that it's used properly, that individuals can have a greater interconnection, a greater communication throughout the body, which is why there is this homeostasis, this feeling of, you know, if you will, relaxation, smells, taste, feelings, touch, sensations, so on and so forth, are heightened and people feel better. But I do know that there is also this prefrontal cortex cognition issue where maybe from the executive function viewpoint, people can't necessarily, you know, fix a bicycle or do the things that they might have done. Like there are some side effects that aren't necessarily good, right? I mean, you know, you're not going to want to fix the car after you've had some cannabis, right?
Well, I mean, maybe not. It really just depends on the variety and how it works within your system. You know, I mean, if you're using a variety that has terpenes in it that are more elevating and motivating, like limonene makes you feel good and pinene can help with focus and stuff like that, you know, you may want to fix that car and you might get it done efficiently and really quickly, right? And that's a part of like building the relationship with the plant and understanding how it affects you and how to use it, right? Because that might not be the case for everybody. Some people, like, they may, like, I'm going to go fix this car. And then they consume and they're like, okay, I was kidding. I'm going to nap all day. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. So I know that not all cannabis is equal, right? And I'm hearing you say that. You know, so if you're looking at it, you really do have to understand. And are individuals predispositioned based on their body, maybe their blood type or their, you know, their chemistry, if you will? Are they predispositioned for certain types of cannabis versus others, do you think? I'm just wondering I don't know if there's been any studies or what your experience is. Yeah.
So there is some companies that are doing like testing like genetic testing and stuff like that to see what people would work better for them you know, not, and all the stuff, like which ones they would benefit for. I would imagine that there is something, you know, that could make someone that would lean or it, you know, it would work better to work with this type of cannabinoid or this type of terpene is going to be what's more beneficial. And I think as time goes on, like if people are curious enough to like want to spend the money on the research to really understand that, but the consumer is going to have to like say they want it, I feel, because I don't think that people are just going to be like, let's do more research on this, because I mean, cannabis just doesn't, it is kind of, it's been demonized and taboo and stigmatized so much that like the actual beauty of this plant just isn't seen. It's not valued. It's not, it doesn't have the reverence that some of the other plants do. So maybe we'll see more of that over time. I know that there is a little testing now, but basically it's when I'm supporting people, it's like, smell it, you know, your nose knows like what you're going to lean towards. And it's a trial and feedback, right? Like trial it out, you track it, you see how it is, you receive the feedback from it, and then you do something else.
Great. Okay, good. Good. I like that a lot. So it's basically, a lot of it is trial and error. There's no sort of going in and, you know, here's my, you know, spit in the container and, you know, here's my DNA and let me go ahead and do the analysis. And oh yeah, you should definitely go for the granddaddy perp or what, or the, you know, the sour diesel, you know, whatever, whatever it is. Let me ask you, you've got this concept of Kanavasana, and I love the term, I love the name. You better trademark it right away. But I love that term because it really speaks to, in my view, as a yoga teacher, as somebody who's, you know, done yoga classes, we talked about Savasana, you know, that whole idea of that. What is Kanavasana all about, and you know, how did you come up with it?
You know, Kanavasana, like I said, it is a concept that I've kind of been developing over the past year or so. I don't believe that.
Kanavasana, not Kanavasana.
Kanavasana. I mean, it could be Kanavasana. I'm from the South.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. But
Kanavasana. Good. So it's a concept. Sorry.
Yeah, just a concept of that I have come up with from my own personal experience and what I have discovered through the plant and what I have gained from research, right? I don't feel like this is new. I think this is just like a way to introduce people into the concept of using cannabis as a consciousness medicine. Kanavasana is using cannabis in a way of being mindful, with gentle awareness and staying curious. One of the things that Daniel McQueen talks about at the Center of Medicinal Mindfulness is that having awareness with acceptance is healing. And I do believe that cannabis, when used in a way of mindfulness, can open doors to profound healing. So like the actual name Kanavasana, like, was a high idea, right? You know, it was like a download. A friend of mine had invited me to come up with a new word for cannabis that I could use on social media, because censoring is so bad. And I was like thinking one day, and I'm like trying to think of different words and how I can put them together. And I've been doing yoga for over a decade, and I was like, you know, Shavasana, right? That relaxation. And I was like, Canna and Vasana came together. And for me, you know, what it meant was using cannabis consciously and as a way of getting like deep relaxation. So whenever I started researching like Vasana and what a Vasana actually is, it's a Sanskrit term that is essentially means like the karmic residue that we take from life to life. And a part of our enlightenment and transcendence is to resolve, get resolution around these vasanas. And vasanas aren't necessarily a bad thing. Like when we're looking at attachment and things like that, like attachment to nothing, right, is like supposed to be the pure freedom.
Shunyata.
Yeah. And these, these vasanas kind of prevent us from having that, because our vasanas are also our motivators. They are our desires, whether they're created from something traumatic or something beautiful. Like a vasana isn't a vasana, and it's something that you know, it's meant for to dissolve.
So this is really interesting, and this is incredibly interesting, because you know, one of the things that, you know, like I'm a yoga teacher. I went to Integral Yoga years ago, back in 93, 94. So that's like 30 years ago, right? And, you know, I got the name from my yogic name is Shunya, you know, short for Shunyata. And I was like, okay, you know, and I studied yoga, I studied Buddhism, and, you know, started looking at the whole idea of karma. And, you know, certainly samsaras, you know, are the sort of karmic residue, you know, the stars, you know, samsaras, the stars, they sound like a little like stars. And then, you know, the vasanas, to me, what you hear, what I'm hearing you say, and I didn't know this, is that those are sort of the, you know, okay, what do you do about the stars now? How do you move forward in terms of change? And I do think that cannabis is a motivator to go ahead and, you know, reboot, reset, reframe, and to allow yourself the grace, when used properly, to allow yourself the grace to go ahead and change things, like to really change things. And what I hear, what I really like about what you're saying is, in my work, we use breath. You know, I'm a big proponent of breath, because the Latin word for breath is spir, as in spir it. You know, like breathe it, you know, spirit, you know. And what we do is we come into the world with a breath, we leave the world with a breath, and in between we have these inspirations, these aspirations, these perspirations, these, you know, these expirations or respirations, you know, it all is centered on the word spirit. So I love this, what you're talking about, because it gives, it sort of sounds to me, when I unpack it a little bit more, when you unpack it, that, you know, it really is giving new breath and new light and a new frame to maybe some things that we've inherited, the samsaras or the, you know, the inheritance that we've gotten, to change our karma. You know, if you get that recognition and choice, you can change your karma. So, so am I, how does that sound to you? Is that resonating with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like bringing the cannabis side into it, because cannabis does, like, it gives you the ability to change your perspective, and it also, you know, can heighten your awareness around things. And like, I believe that if nothing else, it can help like highlight some of these things that may be blocks, or bring a new perspective around like the way that you view things, so that you can move into making choice on how those things support you in your life. It's just taking it, because cannabis has been looked at as like recreational or something for symptom management within the body, like this concept that it can actually be used as a tool for deep introspection. I feel like it has been lost, because when I talk to people about it, they're like, what? And I'm like, have you ever just like, you know, consumed the plant, like gotten really high or whatever, turned on a playlist and just breathed and was just present mm-hmm. with yourself mm-hmm. and just see what's going on and what's coming mm-hmm. up mm-hmm. or even incorporating journaling. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. for me personally, having, I had a cannabis ceremony for myself mm-hmm. or session, you know, and started journaling out some stuff. And I unlocked some like childhood memories, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. from when I was like four mm-hmm. and I was just mm-hmm. like crying and I was like, oh my God, mm-hmm. what do I do mm-hmm. with this information now? And it's like, mm-hmm. I have the awareness. I can bring the acceptance into play so that I can actually move into a state of healing. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for having cannabis as a tool mm-hmm. to be able to allow me the space to do that.
So like, that's so beautiful. And I'm so glad that you did that work, first of all. And, you know, I really want to understand it from a science viewpoint. I get the outcome of it. And, you know, I mean, I grew up in the Cheech and Chong generation, you know, where, you know, it was kind of like, you know, cannabis. Yeah. Just get stoned. You know, you get stoned, you get couch locked. You can't do anything. All you want to do is have pizza and Doritos and whatever. And, you know, that's like that. But what you're talking about is like real work. And, you know, this whole area of introspection, exploration, and then transcendence to be able to go ahead and integrate that or be able to look at it. What happens in the body that allows that to happen? You know, what's the science around it that really, why does that work? And I'm also wondering, like, do you titrate? Is there a level of titration that says, well, you know, if you have, you know, a certain amount, if you have one puff, let's say we're smoking, however you're imbibing, but if you have one puff, that you're fine. But if you have 10 puffs, maybe you might not be able to go ahead and do that work as effectively. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are about that. And maybe we can unpack that a little bit.
Yeah. As far as like the science of it, I can give you my thoughts around the science of it. Cause mm-hmm. again, like, I don't know that there's a whole lot of research around it. I could put puzzle pieces together from like the way that cannabis affects the endocannabinoid system. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that's a big part of it. So like a natural endogenous cannabinoid that we make in our bodies, all vertebrate mammals make this, is called anandamide, which mm-hmm. is named from like ananda, which is a Sanskrit word that translates into joy or bliss. Mm-hmm. So anandamide is known as like this bliss molecule in our body. Mm-hmm. THC on a like molecular level or whatever, mm-hmm. it looks like anandamide. It mm-hmm. keys into our system just like anandamide does. The difference is that our natural endogenous anandamide, when it connects mm-hmm. to the receptor, it's like a flash. It's like connect and gone, connect mm-hmm. and gone, right? Mm-hmm. Whenever THC is the one that connects, it holds on for a lot longer. So it mm-hmm. creates this extended experience. And I do believe that that's a part of why that mm-hmm. we are able to feel differently in that mm-hmm. space. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. cannabis also affects the default mode network.
Right.
For some people, it makes it where it's way more active. For some people, it quiets it down.
So when we say way more active, we're talking about like it makes you paranoid. A lot of people talk about paranoia, right?
Paranoid. And I have so many curiosities around this because I do believe that your mindset makes a huge difference on the outcome when you consume. Mm. Because if you believe you're going to be anxious and have a challenging experience, just like any other plant medicine, chances are you're going to manifest that. Mm-hmm. So
it's an amplifier. Yeah.
It's an amplifier. Cannabis mm-hmm. can act as a mirror. Mm-hmm. It also can have the cortisol response, right? So if you're having this like elevated blood like pulse mm-hmm. and then like you automatically start thinking you're feeling that associating with anxiety and mm. then you're like running away from it because you don't like the way it feels, mm-hmm. The invitation is to like breathe, right? Remember, you took a substance. Things are happening in your body. Breathe into your belly and allow yourself to lean into that anxiety so you can get on the other side of it.
Because some curiosity. Yeah.
Really beautiful there. Right. But as far as like back to the science part of it, I think the effects on the default mode network, when you can like quiet it down, you can get embodied and breathing into and just allowing things to come up. And I think that the anandamide has a big part of it as well. And probably UIG, but yeah.
That's great. Now, I know that, you know, there are a lot of misconceptions. We talked about, you know, like back, you know, reefer madness was like, you know, and that there's a whole kind of story back in the 30s. And, you know, over the years, it's sort of, I think cannabis hasn't been given its sort of right place. And there's a lot of misconceptions about cannabis. How do you work to dispel those misconceptions?
I do a lot of education, primarily around the endocannabinoid system and how it works in the body, right? Because that I feel, I mean, it was medicine for so long until Henry Anslinger decided that it wasn't medicine anymore and enough people paid for it to be pushed out into the media that it wasn't medicine anymore.
That's so, that's the FBI guy who decided to go ahead and go after cannabis, you know, or marijuana. You use the Mexican name for it.
And then even changed the name.
Changed the name, yeah. And then, of course, it became part of the, you know, part of the process to look at, you know, whether or not they were Mexicans or foreigners, you know, if they had a different skin tone, you know?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's really unfortunate how we've lost contact with this, like, really powerful medicine that, like, was used frequently for a really long time. So I start off with a lot of it is a basis of education because the science is there a lot more than what people probably realize on the benefits and how it can be supportive. And just having people like understand that like you have an endocannabinoid system too, and everybody does, and it can be used as a medicine. And much more, but like starting with people understanding that it's a medicine first and then stepping into like the deeper aspects of it. Because there's a lot of naysayers out there that just don't believe it. But like I've seen the effects of it, not only in my own personal journey, but like people around me.
Right. And, you know, I'm very interested in, like, you talked about a couple of things that really sparked for me, like breathing, mindfulness, you know, being able to go ahead and really, you know, looking at your setting and, you know, the way you integrate in, even in terms of journaling. You know, can you speak to the importance of how you can integrate cannabis use into the mindfulness practice? What does that look like? And maybe along that line, perhaps, you know, what does it look like in terms of self-discovery or growth as a tool that people might want to check out or might want to look at if they haven't? Because I know people who have using cannabis to get off of opioids and, you know, a whole bunch of other things. Even, you know, when we start taking a look at the ability where somebody has their nervous system is not right. Right. What am I thinking about?
I mean, it can help with a bunch of different things, right? It can help with PTSD. It can help people come off of meds. It can help with, I think it's called FND, which is functional neurological disorder. I don't know if maybe that's the one you're thinking about.
Right. So how do you use it with mindfulness?
So it's really interesting when I talk to people about like creating ritual or like creating like an intentional use and just being, you know, mindfulness is awareness and presence that is non-judgmental. So one, it's like taking a look of like how you're using and being intentional, right? So that literally looks like maybe taking the time to smell your flower before you roll your joint, right? Or if you Like when you roll your joint, I always invite people to like take a dry hit first before they light it, if that's what they're doing, because then you can taste the terpenes. So your olfactory system is coming online. Like you're tasting, you're taking it in a different way. You're creating this relationship with it. And starting with intention, like along with mindfulness, like, okay, if I'm going to sit, I'm smoking because I'm bored. Okay. Don't judge yourself on it. Bring awareness, have mindfulness that's non-judgmental, and make the decision, is this good for you or not? Because I will never tell somebody that they consume too much. Like it's a matter of whether it's functional or non-functional for you. And being in a state of mindfulness with this is important, because there's so much shame and so much guilt around this plant because of the stigma that's been produced with prohibition. Like, we don't need to add more to it.
Right. So, but it's not like you're taking a drink here. I mean, you know, it's a, because a lot of people get very, they sort of want to mesh them together, right? Like, okay, I'm using cannabis. Oh, you know, you're using it a few times a day. Oh, well, would you be drinking, you know, a few times a day? No, we're not talking about the same thing, because we're really talking about, you know, being able to go ahead and lift your consciousness in a different way. And what I hear you saying is that, through the mindfulness practice, being intentional about it, but also being breathing through it, being aware of what the impact is, that there are different impacts, or there are different effects. And the thing I was thinking about before was this film, certainly about Parkinson's, about the ability to use cannabis and with Parkinson's patients, and really start to see how their whole system just resets. I mean, they're not jittering around anymore.
And that's nervous system, right? And that's the endocannabinoid system. And that's how powerful this medicine is. Like, I cannot stress like that, because I feel like we just, it's been forgotten, and like we've lost the respect for how powerful it is.
So what, you know, like people maybe, like when I was growing up, cannabis was, you know, maybe, you know, you'd smoke a joint and maybe it was, you'd have that, and maybe the THC content was about 10%. Okay. Now you're looking at cannabis, and the strains are like, they go through these hybrids and so on and so forth. They can go up to 25, 30% almost, you know, and then you've got wax, and you've got all these other things that are out there, which is mind blowing. I'm wondering, how do you work with clients to determine the optimal dosage of a strain for their specific unique needs? Because people going into this may not know, you know, what they need.
Yeah, for sure. Great question. One of the things that, like, I've found myself doing a lot of is like rehabilitation around the plant, because a lot of people have had really challenging experiences in the past. And there are people who are just curious of how to use more optimal. And what it looks like with starting out is, like, honestly looking at the history, and how they feel, what they're wanting to experience, right? Is it something that is more of like cerebral? Is it something that's more like in the body, physical? Where are they going to feel comfortable at with that? Like, if they're more prone to anxiety, you know, maybe not using something that's going to create so much of like the cerebral effect of like the mind, where it can make your mind race a little bit more. And also, like, I like to blend cannabinoids, like you speak on, like the high THC percentage, which it is what it is, but it's not always great. And whenever we're looking at high THC percentage, like, something is being left out, right? Because we've got to find the balance in it. So I just think that mixing in like CBD flower can be really beneficial for someone who is super sensitive. And it could also, it's like, it could literally be just one hit. It doesn't have to be more than that. Like, the thought process of like, oh, well, like, if I roll this joint, I have to smoke the whole thing. It's like, no, you don't. Like, you could just do a little bit. So it's really filling into like their history, their comfort level, and what's going to be really beneficial to support them in this process of essentially rediscovering how they can use cannabis to support them. Because more times than not, it appears to be a rehabilitation more than anything, because so many people have a history or a story with this plant, whether they've used it or not. Everybody has a story and a history.
Well, that's I think that's a great segue into my next question, which was really about sharing any stories of clients that, you know, you've worked with who've used cannabis for introspection or for growth or for, you know, as I talked about, you know, Parkinson's or for any other, you know, issues that they might have from a medicinal viewpoint. Do you have a, not without getting into the specific names, perhaps keeping the confidentiality of your clients, what, you know, any stories you can share?
You know, it's the introspection part of it has been really beautiful to witness for other people. And what I generally see when I am, you know, with somebody who is going deeper into the cannabis space is either they get super profoundly relaxed. Like I had one person say that they felt like they were in a float tank. And whenever you get into that, I call it the space in between, right? That subspace, that is healing, because you're not in this space of constant movement, either in your mind or your body. So you can just drop in, and that's really healing. I had another person who shared, again, they had a challenging experience with cannabis in the past. It had been like 20 years, but they wanted to explore this. We were on retreat, and it was like a mixed medicine retreat. So they had had medicine the night before, and they were going into medicine that night, and we were doing a cannabis ceremony during the day. And what's interesting is like their experience was very somatic. And again, this is something that I've seen with more than one person, where there's there's body movement, there's emotional releases. And what she, what they had shared was that they had gone like right back into the experience they had had 20 years ago. However, they felt safe and were able to like follow these memories that were opening up. Some of them they hadn't thought about in a very, very long time. And they were able to gain new perspective on the things that had occurred around that time period, which were pretty traumatic 20 years prior. And the beauty of this is that they had done medicine the night before, and they were going into medicine that night again, but they had shared that because of having this ceremony specifically with me, they actually had like a lot more insight and perspective, and knew how they wanted to navigate their intentions going into the other medicine that night with more clarity.
So it's complimentary, right? I mean, there's a
very complimentary,
and it sounds like they wound up doing exactly what we do, whether or not it's with ketamine or whether or not it's with any other entheogen, is really look at, you know, shutting down the default mode network, going deep, really understanding what's going on, really unraveling the, you know, the shadows of our past, shining light on those, and then being able to have a, you know, an awakening in some way, some sort of a transformation, if you will, you know, an ability to really kind of focus. Is that primarily where a lot of the work that you do goes?
Yeah, there's a lot of parts work that goes on, and it's not...
Explain what parts work is for those people who may not know.
So, parts work is, like, what I discovered with it was through internal family systems, through Richard Schwartz, who... And it's the concept that there are multiple parts that live inside of us. Like, the mono mind is... doesn't exist, all right? There's, like, multiple parts that live inside of us that are created at different times in our lives, and they all have their own beliefs, and they all have their own stories, and these parts can essentially like control our lives, right? And when I talk about like parts work, it's getting curious. A lot of us talk about our parts and we don't even know we're talking about them. Like
Yeah.
I feel like a child and I just want to like pitch a fit. Okay, well, that's a part talking, right? And when using cannabis and doing it like in a state of like going in and like introspection, like these parts of us will come online and we can learn from these parts and build relationships with these parts and better understand them so that they aren't controlling our lives and we can be more of a self-centered or self-led. And it's something that just naturally happens, like
right. So there's this integration, right? There's this recognition of the various parts, your mother, your father, your preacher, your teacher, your uncle, whatever those parts are that allow us to go ahead and show up into the world, our relationships, whatever it is. And then there's these aspects of really bringing them together and really kind of looking at them and saying, oh, you're not as bad as I thought you were. You're pretty good, you know. Welcome, you're allowed into the circle.
Right.
So I want to ask you, as we start looking at winding down our time, how do you see the cannabis industry evolving in the realm of, you know, more conscious medicine and maybe more integration as we go forward? Do you think, you know, with the recreational, with the legalization, that, you know, we can put the genie back in the bottle? Do you think there's more work that can be done, maybe up the game a little bit more in terms of the access to, you know, cannabis and the ability to go ahead and do kind of more of this consciousness raising? What do you see?
You know, what I see is just, again, like a huge rehabilitation of the cannabis industry altogether is what I feel like kind of needs to happen, because it's not supportive for the consumer whatsoever. Whether you're using for recreation or medicinal, it's out of control. You know, what I would love to see is there be more talk about like terpenes and how they affect people, because it doesn't matter whether you're recreational or you're medicinal, you still have an endocannabinoid system and you still can create an experience based on understanding and creating the relationship with the plant. And I would love to see more consciousness come into it. I think that's going to kind of, you know, kind of pop up in little pods all over the place, but the concept might not be fully received, because it's interesting, like the box that we put it in and discounted it for how powerful it is. Like, I mean, when I did Yahe last year in Colombia, and I am laying on my mat going into this state of like super deep introspection and stuff and all this awareness, and I was like, holy cow, like I do this at home in my bedroom and I don't have to purge. You know, and it's not Yahe, like cannabis isn't Yahe, it isn't psilocybin and ketamine, but it is a shapeshifter medicine, and it is incredibly like beneficial and like has all of this stuff that we can really dive into.
Right.
It's just people being like open to the different perspective of it, right?
And really, like all medicines, I what I hear you saying is that, you know, really setting the setting, right? The mindset, what your mindset is, where do you want to go with it? And then, you know, really being with it rather than, you know, ignoring it or trying to run away from whatever is there, and then integrating it and then lifting the consciousness. I like this idea of biohacking our consciousness and being able to shape shift a little bit and being able to raise our consciousness through the use of plant medicines. But also, more importantly, what I hear you saying is that, you know, with this particular plant medicine, which is legal, and the use of mindfulness and the use of breathing techniques, we can go ahead and do a lot more than the consumers know, and they should know about the endocannabinoid system. They should know about how to go ahead and get themselves right if they're feeling wrong. Maybe that's some sort of, you know, maybe they need to like say hello to their endocannabinoid system. Hello.
Absolutely. It is the master regulator of the others. Like I said, it's the checks and balances. of it, yeah. Right?
That's brilliant. I love that. So let me ask you, as we close down, what resources do you recommend for those people who are interested in, you know, the endocannabinoid system and cannabis or kind of asana, and, you know, ways of integrating, you know, it into their, maybe their mindfulness practice or integrating it into their lives a little bit more? Do you have any resources that you'd suggest, and maybe also how people would get a hold of you? Over at Trusted Cannabis Nurses.
Yeah, through Trusted Cannabis Nurse, you know, I offer consultation around both medical cannabis consultation and as well as more of like the mindfulness or, you know, cannabisana side of it, of using it as a therapeutic tool. There is so many resources out there as far as, there's Daniel McQueen's book on psychedelic cannabis, Breaking Through the Gate. Like, mm-hmm. I got that book 3 years ago, and it has been such a huge resource. I've read it multiple times. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, it's been gifted to me. I've also just randomly received, like, I mm-hmm. received an additional copy from the mm-hmm. Amazon once before. So it's like one of those things, like, clearly it needs to be in my life, but mm-hmm. it's a really great resource in talking about like cannabis from a psychedelic standpoint. Mm-hmm. As far as like the endocannabinoid system, there's so many books that are out there. It really just depends on like what you're really like wanting to learn about, mm-hmm. and what you're curious about. I mean, it's a rabbit hole you could fall down and never stop falling down.
Right. So how do people get a hold of you at Trusted Cannabis Nurses?
For a Trusted Cannabis Nurse, I have like free consultation calls that can be scheduled. All of that stuff is on the website underneath Talk to a Nurse or Talk to a Nurse. Mm-hmm. It's all under that. So that would be where people could get a hold of me. That or I have an Instagram that is The Kind Nurse, and people can send me messages on there if they feel called to or are curious about things.
Right.
Or I have more resources I can share too. I just...
Right. Good. Get a hold of you. Yeah, and we've got those resources, and I'll make sure to go ahead and include those in the show notes. Ariane, I really thank you so much for dropping your wisdom and your experience and your perspective on the show here. I just really want to thank you so much. Thank you for being here. Yeah.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me, Keith.
Thank you again to our guest, Ariane Williams, for sharing her wealth of knowledge and expertise on the subject of cannabisana and the endocannabinoid system, as well as the use of cannabis in a conscious way. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, subscribe, and share with your friends. And as always, stay mindful.